March 7th, 2020. I am so pleased to be here with you.
Hello.
Catherine Goodwin-Tones, speaking with Lynn Thompson of Living on Purpose. We are going to talk about your newly published book, The King's Broad Arrow. It's a historical fiction novel set in the early years of the American Revolution.
Okay. I'm about 3.5 weeks from the book being released on Amazon, and it is self-published, so it wasn't a huge fanfare of a release, but it is a relief to have it out because it was a long journey, as you know. Yeah, it's really fun to just see how people are responding to it and watch it make its way out there.
Yeah, well, I congratulate you. And of course, I've been very involved as the editor for you.
Yep.
And totally serendipitous how we were connected through a referral of a referral. And timing is everything because you had been working on this book for 5 years, right? Writing and researching.
Yes, 5 years, more concentrated towards the end. At the beginning, it was off and on because I had other priorities. But yeah, 5 years, really. And then a year to self-publish, which is quite remarkable, I think.
The American Revolution time, why would you think that that's relevant to readers today?
The main character is a teenager, at least 13 when the story begins. So the challenges that he's facing, they're not really that different than a lot of the things that kids are struggling to figure out today. Physically, his challenges were different because sometimes it was down to just bare bones survival. But making choices about his future and really deciding what kind of person he wants to be and what he values the most and what kind of future he wants for himself and for his family. And I think a lot of young people are going through that right now in the world.
So you think the lessons that he's going through are timeless in a way?
Mm-hmm. I do.
What inspired you to even start doing a book like this, Catherine?
Well, the inspiration for the book came from a class that I taught 10 years ago. I read a really interesting book that was about teaching kids philosophy. And though I don't really have a background academically in philosophy, it was so interesting and it just really touched something in me. And I decided that I wanted to try and emulate it. My kids were in elementary school at the time. I approached the principal and told her this idea and shared the book with her, and she gave me a green light. And so that class lasted for 2 years, and the kids just responded in a great way. And we did different themes each week. For example, we would do friendship, happiness, justice, citizenship. Two that seemed to get the best reaction and discussions from the kids were courage and responsibility. So I thought it would be interesting to try and explore that in a different medium, I guess. That's how I decided to write a book.
A lot of these places that are referenced in the book of from history, you've visited some of these places, haven't you?
I've visited Boston, and I spent a lot of time in Maine as a child. I picked that where the main character would be from because I really wanted to try and describe how beautiful Maine is. And it's a lot like Canada, so hopefully Canadians can relate to just, you know, those deep green woods and diving into a Maine lake is just a beautiful thing. So that's kind of the only reason I chose Maine as the starting point. So I didn't visit the actual town where he is from. But then as I did more research into what was happening during the early years of the revolution in that part of the country is how I discovered the whole King's Broad Arrow, the laws, and why people there resented laws about distribution of lumber, which was their main economic export. So that's how the title came about, The King's Broad Arrow.
Well, that's the beautiful thing about historical fiction is that you get right into the lives of the people who are living through those historical events, right?
Mm-hmm.
Makes it much more personal. What would you think is the easiest part of writing The King's Broad Arrow?
The easiest part was definitely the research. I thought it was just so much fun, and I just had to learn to stop myself and not keep going after one more thing that I just found really intriguing, because it would have taken me 10 years to write the book. I thought that was just so much fun, and for some people that isn't a dreadful task, but I really enjoy it. And there's so much out there. It's amazing what you can find. The old maps that I found and even weather reports where I could literally track the weather from day to day. Yeah, it's incredible. That was really easy doing the research.
And so what was the hardest part?
Hardest part was trusting my instincts, that the things I was drawn to and found really interesting that other people would be interested in as well. for example, the book begins with the whole army being vaccinated against smallpox, which was killing more soldiers than any actual fighting with the British. And so George Washington made a very important decision to inoculate the whole army, and it's really risky. And so I thought that was just fascinating, and I'm amazed that a lot of people don't really know about it, even though it's probably one of the best strategic decisions that George Washington made. So that was a lot of research, and it anchors and ends the story. So I thought it was real interesting. I guess other people do because they seem to like it in the book.
Like you say, who would know that? And it's so rudimentary at that time, right? It was pretty rustic inoculation.
It was.
Yeah.
And people mistrusted it a lot. And there was religious bias against it, especially in America, because they were prone to just believe in divine intervention. So that decision was great strategically, but it was also a great affirmation of the Enlightenment ideals, which were the foundation of the revolution, the trusting in science and information and not just divine intervention.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, there's a couple things there. One, that the soldiers trusted George Washington. I mean, that was a testament in itself. And
mm-hmm.
then as far as relevance today, vaccination is still a very controversial topic. There is still trust involved, right? So it is relevant
mm-hmm.
still. Yeah.
It sure is.
Mm-hmm. Now, initially, you had thought that this would be for a young adult audience. I think we're finding that people of all ages are very interested in this book.
It's been a nice surprise.
Yeah. And I am so close to it. I'm really enjoying getting feedback
yeah.
from people. And people seem to be really, really taking it in. So that's just so wonderful. And, of course, we need to mention the incredible illustrations.
I found Crystal the same way that I found you, through wonderful Kim.
From KWE Publishing.
Yes. And Crystal is just incredibly talented. She did that gorgeous cover with very little direction from me. I gave her a couple musts that it has to have the symbol, the King's Red Arrow symbol. It needs to have Sam and a ship, and that's about it. And she just came up with this incredibly dynamic, engaging cover, and the ship is so beautiful. And then she also formatted the entire book and did about half of the illustrations are original. And she just spent so much time with the story and getting all the little details right, which, of course, as the author, that kind of goes straight to my heart. Appreciate it so much.
It's true. Dynamic illustrations. And that front cover, that image, it's just so emblazoned in my mind now. Like, it's so captivating. You really have to see it to take it all in. But that's amazing
yeah.
what she's done. Yeah.
A friend of mine's son this week had literary character day at his school, and he went as Sam.
Oh, that's amazing.
it's wonderful. He looks so much like Sam. So he made like a scar on his arm, and they tore the sleeves off his shirt, and he's got a little medallion. And then they went into the woods and took a picture up against a tree, and fantastic.
Wow, that is really bringing it to life. I love it. Well, that reminds me that you have talked about doing a screenplay of The King's Broad Arrow.
Yes, I'm absolutely going to do a screenplay because, well, I mean, why not? The book's fresh in my mind, and it's not that big of a difference. It's really strict formatting that you have to follow, but I found some software that looks very user-friendly. So it's worth a try.
And it's so full of rich imagery and interactions with people. I can see it. I can see it come to life.
It's a good adventure. Yeah. I mean,
for
it's
sure.
kind of the classic hero's adventure that he goes off on his own and he gets challenged by certain things along the way and has to make some big decisions and he gets tested. And
he changes his attitude and outlook. I mean, it changes through all those different situations. It's such a great read. It's like an old friend to me, this book.
Yeah.
So you have a sequel?
I am working on a sequel. There's a few things I already know that I want to include. In terms of the themes, I think friendship is going to be a theme. So his friendship with his friend Eamon is going to be tested. And I want to bring in some other characters that are always on the sidelines of the general story of the revolution. The Indians, they played such a huge role, but they're not a big part of the story that I learned. They struggled for so long to remain neutral, but they really couldn't. So it didn't work out very well for them, unfortunately.
So friendship you're looking at as the theme for the sequel. Now, your themes for The King's Broad Arrow were courage and responsibility. And it's great to have a theme when you're dealing with so many issues and topics and situations. It's good to have themes running through, I think.
Yeah, I think it centers the story, you know, because then you can get so distracted and forget what you're meant to be writing about. So I think it's really important to figure that out early on. And I definitely knew what I wanted to say about those themes from the very beginning. So that was a good foundation.
So in that regard, what would you say are the most important lessons that you want readers to take from this book?
There's a few. I think with each kind of turn in the road for Sam, he learns a good life lesson. In the very beginning, you know, he feels like he's messed up so many things with his family, with his friendship, with his friend, and has a nice conversation with his mother where she basically tells him, you never, ever reach a point in your life that you stop making mistakes. And I think that's so important for kids, for everyone to understand. You know, you just, we're humans. We are not infallible. And the idea that this comes from his time with Gerard, the philosopher figure on the boat, everyone has some kind of scar or painful thing that they carry with them. Some people are more forthright about it. Some people choose to keep whatever it is private, but it definitely shapes a person. And whether you know what it is or not, you just have to respect that you don't know what a person's been through, what makes them act the way they do. And a little bit of empathy goes a long way in trying to understand why people maybe do the things they do.
Mm-hmm.
And then with Thomas Paine, I think the most important thing Sam learns, and it's sort of a metaphor for the whole revolution, is that you're never going to know completely what the future holds, so you have to just trust in yourself, trust in your decision-making, and push beyond fears that might be stopping you from moving on to a better version of yourself.
Well, those are pretty timeless universal lessons, I would say.
I think so.
Catherine, is there anything else you want to add to our conversation?
Just so grateful for our your part in this, and what a great journey it was. It was so much fun. It was so positive, and I know the book, you know, I can't imagine it being the book that it is without your help and Crystal, and that was one of the best parts. Past year was so challenging, but that teamwork that we had was really fantastic.
Thank you, Catherine. I can't imagine this last year without being involved in your projects. It's mutual. It's been fantastic. Thank you so much for our conversation today. I'm excited to share it with more listeners and get more people involved with your book and reading it and looking for the screenplay production. And
I can write the screenplay. That doesn't mean it's going to be a movie, but I'm going to try.
Yeah, well, it's in process. And just tell us your website to close here.
Oh, my website is revolutionrings.org. It has a lot of the resources that I used. It has a blog. It's under the news section. So it's my chance to go full nerd on a lot of things in the book that I had to kind of keep under control for word length purposes. But I get to really explore them, like the Gutenberg element of the book. I just find so interesting. So, and then there will be a teacher's guide coming pretty soon, the next couple weeks, so that teachers can use it in classrooms. And yeah, I think the website's pretty fun.
There's a lot there, and there continues to be more added regularly. So that makes it a very interesting place to visit. And your book, The King's Broad Arrow, is available through Amazon.
Uh-huh, and Barnes & Noble. I think almost anywhere now online it's available.
What about libraries and chapters, for example?
They can order the book through Ingram Spark. I mean, it's completely up and going on Ingram Spark, which is a print-on-demand service, whatever the means that libraries order books. I've been sending it to some museums that I think would be interested in carrying it, like the Paul Revere House and Mount Vernon, and there's quite a few museums I think would fit nicely in their book selection.
Catherine Goodwin-Tone, it's wonderful to speak with you about your new book, The King's Broad Arrow. Yeah, The King's Broad Arrow is an amazing read, and I'm excited that it's out in the world. So congratulations again on the launch.
Thank you. Thanks for having me today. This is fun.